Start.
What?
Start.
Start what?
Go.
Oh, all right. Let's get started.
Well, I don't know where you want me to start. Hello?
I'm coming in.
Look, I don't know. I guess I just don't know exactly what you want me to do.
You come out. You say hello. You start the show. Here's the show. What's the mystery? Move aside.
WFOB. My name is Mike. I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
Howdy, buddy.
And guys, joining us from the Po' Boys podcast, Jody B is here. Hello, Jody.
Hey, back again for the first time.
What's Who up, are you,
you fucking assholes?
Guys, coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to a man, Jody. He wrote a book, you see.
Yeah.
And the book is about... Now, it's about comedians who get in trouble with the law or comedians who sue. Well, it's all about comedy lawsuits, Joey. And I was excited to talk to him about his book because I love music lawsuits. I might be able to get into comedy lawsuits. I don't know.
Yeah, that seems like a fun subsect of your obsession. Yeah.
Guys, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Carl Unabu. He has a book. It's out. It's called Comedy Goes to Court. Looking forward to talking to him. Jody.
Yeah?
Somebody alerted me to... Now, I don't think we played it on the show, but a pornographic film star... What's the gal that has the rap song? That she says
Janet
Jameson.
The
N-word a whole bunch of times.
Hold on. It's Sasha...
No! No, it's not Sasha! What's that chick's name?
Hang on. Riley?
Riley Reed. Yeah. She Riley has a song Reed. Where she says the N-word way too many times, Jody.
Pussy getting so wet from the money stack. Triple stacks, bitch, we clean out 100-pack. You ain't heard what I said, it back. MAGA ho, MAGA trick, hit a lick. One on pussy ass, cornbread, fuck. 305, Dade County, yeah, we know for getting rowdy. Spit stringing from my mouth, let you fuck my face. Good nutritious nut on deck. Eat me out,
Oh, you're gonna make me say the N-word.
Somebody alerted us that another pornographic film star has a new song out. I think it's called Step Bro Ho.
Okay.
And it's really good. Are you familiar with Maddie Collins, Jody? She's redheaded and little.
Normally when people ask me if I'm familiar with porn ladies, I'm like, no, not by name, no. But I might know who that one is.
Yeah. This is a really good song, Jody. I have a couple clips just to get people in the mood for it.
Okay.
Step bro ho, I'm stuck in the dryer.
Oh no.
Don't tell mom, she'll think you're a liar.
Step bro ho,
my car broke down. I'm always in trouble, won't you help me out?
It's a catchy song, right?
Step bro, stop. Oh my god, stop.
I feel like that's a lot of how those videos go. I don't understand.
She wants him to stop, but I don't think she really wants him to stop drunk.
I like it when they get stuck in the window. I don't understand that one, and I don't know how it happens, but sometimes they get stuck like mid sneaking out of a window or sneaking into a window. Like the window closes on them, and they don't know what to do.
You Google way more stuff than me, I guess, there, because I'm just like stepbrother, and then I get that far. I watched one the other day. It was like...
I don't even have to do it. It just shows up on the feed.
Well, that's what it was, but the titles was Stepmom and Stepsister Try to Prove That I'm Not Gay. Yeah. Turns out I don't think the guy was gay at all.
Middle awesome. Of the night, I'm always up to something. Never really know what thing I'll get stuck in. Webcam on, 1,000 people are viewing. He gets behind me. Step bro, what are you doing? Step bro, how? I'm stuck in the dryer.
Oh, no.
Don't tell mom, she'll think you're a liar.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Jody. But I tell you what, I love music lawsuits, though.
What's and, his bro's name, though?
Maddie Collins. That's he's writing it down, Maddie, Jody. He's going to check out some of her content.
I think it's
later.
Just like Lil Maddie or something like that.
Yeah. Teresa actually sent me a couple of music lawsuits, Jody. Not real ones, but ones that she detected. She snuffed them out, and she wanted us to hear about it.
Okay.
Now, the first one, I don't hear. I think she might be tripping on the first one, but the second one, she might have a case. So the first one she heard is a band called the Jenna Torturers. And I don't know if
that one word or two.
Jenna Torturers is all one word. And they did a cover of the Divinyls. I Touch Myself.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a cover.
It's a cover. But that isn't what she heard. I'll play you it so that you could hear it. Here we go.
I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of Nine Inch Nails.
That's what she said. Yeah, she said she thinks it sounds like the Nine Inch Nails song from the Crow soundtrack, which
very industrial, they say.
It does sound industrial. I didn't really hear the connection. It sounds Nine Inch Nails-y, sure, but it doesn't really sound like that.
Shit, that actually was Nine Inch Nails. I thought you were just playing that gal song somewhere.
Now, this one I did hear. She sent me a song by the Snake River Conspiracy, which I've never heard of before.
Why is Teresa trying to take down these little bitty bands?
Yeah, I know.
She's our gal on the street drunk.
She's out there finding the indies to take down.
Mike is a busy fucking guy. You think he can just go around all willy-nilly?
Yeah, no, I guess my point is, these people are on the come up. Why are you trying to kick them while they're down?
I'll play
and
you
Mike's
this.
Point is, don't steal people's shit. That's
I'll
what
play
I
you
say.
This. Let's see if you guys can peg it. One shot. Salvation never found you. Now, that little bitty guitar riff there.
I was about to say, can you play it one more time for me?
Just hear like the first little couple chugs on the guitar. One shot.
I know the song, but I just the
song. I hear a couple songs in there.
The Toadies, Possum Kingdom, is what she's comparing this to.
Yeah, I mean, I hear
a little bit,
but I mean,
little bit.
Can you sue somebody over one bang bang? Is that a thing yet?
I don't know.
You can't sue somebody over a bang bang.
Maybe Carl Unabu will know. Jody, we could ask him about music lawsuits, right?
You should ask him if he should get into it, because at this point, I don't see anything funny about what these assholes are trying to pull.
Is this bunch of copycats right here?
What?
Was that Disturbed?
That's pretty funny. Hang on, wait, drunk, wait. Let's time this out. I'm going to do a long ooh, and on the count of right after I get done, you hit it. Ready?
Seamless,
dude,
guys. You nailed it.
We're gonna
get
kicked off Spotify.
There's a guy in NASCAR who drives the McGruff the Crime Dog car.
Oh, I would see that one. Is that the Xfinity series?
Hold on, goddammit. Is there a real NASCAR? Is it like on Dumb and Dumber? Like, is it got ears and a nose and stuff? Because that'd be
no, it just cool. It has McGruff the Crime Dog painted on it. And I think McGruff the Crime Dog's thing now is that you shouldn't buy counterfeit stuff. Like, McGruff the Crime Dog isn't solving real crimes anymore.
Yeah, well, crack is gone. It's all fentanyl. You really can't make a song about that.
Like,
Mike.
McGruff the Crime Dog's like, hey, don't buy phone chargers that aren't made by Apple. Which I don't get. I don't get. But that's McGruff the Crime Dog's thing now. And he has a NASCAR. And the McGruff...
Does he still take a bite out of crime?
Yeah, he's taking a bite out of crime, but it's like a weird kind of bite.
Little bites. Little baby bites now.
And the McGruff the Crime Dog car the other day, Jody, got in an accident. And the driver of the McGruff the Crime Dog car was mad.
take a moment to really express his frustration here. First, he's going to finish tearing the rear bumper cover off his car and then wait for Dawson Cram. And his timing and throw was pretty impeccable here.
Yeah, he did a good job at this right here. Boom, right in the windshield.
I think I would have left my driver gloves on. OSHA would not have approved pulling that bumper cover off without the gloves.
You know,
that part or the playing in the traffic part?
Yes, yes.
I was going to say, OSHA has a problem with no gloves. NASCAR has a problem with walking down near traffic.
I hope they hit him with a paper and said, no.
He threw a piece of his car at another car, which I thought was pretty great.
They used to do it all the time back in the day.
Throw pieces of cars at cars?
Yeah, they were hotheads. Yeah.
I might start watching NASCAR if they do that. If they start, like when they get in accidents, getting out of the car and throwing pieces of their car at other cars.
A lot of times it'd be the helmet. I'm sure their
that's what I was going to do. The only time I've seen it, the guy threw his helmet, and that guy got kicked out of the race, I think, like for the rest of the day or the next one or how. They were all like, ooh, you can't. Because he straight grabbed the front visor, that fucking helmet, and whipped it at the dude's car. He was mad as shit.
Jody, I think before Carl Unabu shows up, we should probably have the King of Colas try his cola, don't you think?
Oh, you got a new, you got a fresh cola? Is it all crispy, dude?
Drunk has a fresh cola.
Oh, God. I hope you have a song for
it.
Is it a twisty cap or is it a bottle opener one? I just have a permanent bottle opener in here now.
Good call.
I'm a bit of a
push. Oh, yeah. Daddy wants a swig.
Yeah, get a sip of that.
Daddy wants a swig of this one because this one got some good bubbles. Highbrow as fuck.
Since you're on, we decided with the only the finest, the bougie, the Yacht Club.
Yacht Club Yacht Cola?
Yacht Club Cola since 1915. Oh, official R.I. soda. I would assume that means Rhode Island.
I feel like there's three like categories of this. I know you do your own little system, but in my mind, it's like cola taste, the pop, and then like the branding, the bottle or whatever. And yeah, I know they tell you to hide it and all that stuff, but I feel like that's what makes the
not
cola
as big of a punch as last week.
Now, Jody, I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay. Drunk's oh, can
gonna,
we guess before he guesses?
Or Drunk's
going
to like this one, I think.
It's good. It's sweet.
Okay. How's the pop?
But it doesn't have
you
much
said
pop.
It's not as much, but like you like a good pop in your soda? Because you like Pepsi, I think.
Well, I prefer Pepsi to Coke, and Coke's the one that'll really punch you in the face.
I know. That's what I like.
You don't think that has some pop? You don't think so?
Not as much.
Kind of burns your throat a little bit.
Yeah.
Neither one of you guys said... After you hit that shit, so probably not as much as Coca-Cola.
That's true.
This is a cool fucking bottle, though.
You're not affected by the bottle.
I'm
though,
not
Drunk.
Supposed to be affected by the bottle. Let me take one more little.
Yep. You got to get that real, that bottom quarter of the bottle. That's where it starts to get real tough. You know, I don't drink a lot of sodas down past the, you know, the last inch of the bottle.
See, it's hard to predict because I thought that one would rate high. Just from what I know about your ratings. I
think he's going to go right down the middle.
You know, he liked that Coca-Cola, Jody, and I thought that sucked.
Yeah, he did. It was his favorite.
I thought that sucked. I guess
Drunk loves cock.
I don't know.
I don't remember the Coca-Cola.
You rated it really high.
Oh, was that the Energy Cola?
No, that was last week. That one was pretty good. It was different. It was interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty run of the mill. Like Yacht Club Cola, I'd say tastes...
Yeah,
like a cola.
I wouldn't make that my everyday drinker, but, you know, I'd have another one.
Yeah, it's fine. I listened to a podcast the other day.
Is it the Joe Rogan Experience?
And No. Jody, I wanted to run this by you because I was curious what you thought. Okay. So when you go to this podcast website, it says at the top, thank you for 1 million downloads.
Uh-oh.
Are we finally there?
No. And I can't imagine this podcast actually has 1 million downloads. It would
by some metric, it probably does.
And it's I'm not coming from that from a place of jealousy, Jody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming from that from a place of like, how?
You've been doing this long enough that you can sniff it out. You go like, that doesn't make sense.
Now, the podcast...
I was about to say, we got almost 700 episodes. We can't get a million
downloads. It's a true crime podcast, Jody.
Yeah, I don't know. Now we're going to get into the Skewsburg coming but right up.
But it's aimed at people to listen to... To, like, help them go to sleep. So, like, you're supposed to listen to this lady talk about true crime.
Yeah.
To, like, doze off.
Soothing voice. To...
That's fucking weird, dude. So she's just, like, you're laying in bed, and it's like, and then she was kidnapped and stuffed in a trunk until she was raped brutally and murdered.
And then she transitions to ads, which I can't imagine. Now, here's another thing. I can't imagine selling to ad sponsors a mid-roll ad for a podcast that's supposed to make you fall asleep.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, how do you sell that to people?
How
like,
do you, it better be if, the, I want the
well, so, block of
commercials. If I'm good at my job and I'm helping people go to sleep, they ain't hearing that mid-roll ad. Like, even if they're playing the podcast.
I will beg to differ unless you're subliminal a little bit.
Subliminal.
So sometimes ad. When I wake up in the morning, I'll flick on the radio show. And I'll fall back asleep, and I'll dream that I'm in the radio show.
Do you dream that, like, you're buying an ice cold Coca-Cola because that's what they're advertising? Well, I have her transitioning to ads, Jody. This is the transition from true crime to ad, which is always my favorite part of a true crime podcast.
Mike, give Daddy a taste.
Her father, Dale, would say, quote, "The last time I saw my daughter, she came over looking for a three-ring binder. She was nervous and a little edgy, and it didn't look Lauren at all. She looked a mess. I regret it now that I didn't ask questions about what was going on." But the straw that broke the camel's back and Lauren and Matthew's marriage was a cheating allegation. I hate having to figure out what the heck I'm going to eat for lunch each week. And cooking for one can be a hassle.
So that was basically us doing a Lethal Weapon. And then...
Yeah.
No, that's what they need. Can you hit it back? And then, Drunk, can you hit saxophones right at the moment when we need it? Because that was...
Hey, everyone. Yeah, my name is Mickey tradition. Young, and this is Serial Napper, the number one true crime podcast for naps. I'm back with another true crime story to lull you to sleep or perhaps to give you nightmares. In the early morning hours of September 1st, 2017,
just right into it, Jody.
Around
right into
1 a.m.
Okay, Mike, so hear me out.
Yeah.
What if you could make a podcast that was so fucking boring that it put people to sleep? Because I've listened to a few podcasts that weren't supposed to be boring at all.
They just were.
But I've literally almost fallen asleep at the wheel listening to them. Like, you'd have to put a disclaimer in, sure, but don't listen to this while you're driving.
Yeah.
But I feel like it gives you the carte blanche. Like, if you say, well, I make a bad podcast on purpose. Like, no, you don't understand, Mike. My show is supposed to be boring as fuck so that you fall asleep while you listen. I like the angle now. I'm on her side.
Some people might like it, but that's not what it's for.
That's what she just said. She said it's to lull you to sleep, literally. Called lullaby.
It's called
Lullaby. That's a good name.
Serial Nappers is the name of the show. Serial Nappers. It's for nap people, Jody. That's who it's for. Let's take a break. Let's regroup. We'll come back. We'll talk to Carl Unabu.
Coming up.
Author of Comedy Goes to Court. When people stop laughing and start fighting.
Stick around.
Walking down the street, feeling kind of blue, and I saw her face. Oh, what a view, her red nose shining, balloon animals in hand. I couldn't help but think she must be grand. Michael Moore, just an ordinary guy, falling for a clown, oh my, oh my. Her honk of a horn, it's got me undone. I never thought I'd find love under the big top. Clown love, it's a crazy thing. She makes my heart go honk, honk, honk. Honk, honk.
She's my funny girl, my diamond in the rough. Crazy thing, she makes my heart go honk, 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 honk. I love, I can't get enough. She's my funny girl, my diamond in the rough.
She said, keep it honk. I said, girl, are you tripping? But then she started juggling all the fruit in my kitchen. Paint on her face, size 27s on her feet. Turn around, baby, let me see that booty meat. I'm being honest, I got a clown girl fetish. Empty the whole car, your boy Travi being selfish. Clown love, I can't get enough. She's my funny girl, my diamond in the rough.
She makes my heart go honk, 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 honk. I love, I can't get enough. She's my funny girl, my diamond in the rough.
Are you envious of the social media heat attendees of the Fyre Festival and other cultural dumpster fires have gotten? Want some of that attention sent your way? You're in luck! From the makers of the Bullshit Box comes an all-new experience for the digital age, Mike's Bad Times. You pay us to create the most shoddily, arguably unsafe environments, then you can take the selfies that'll get you interviewed on the Today Show. Don't waste your time with potentially good events that will create lasting memories with your loved ones. At Mike's Bad Times, you're sure to get noticed for our complete ineptitude to host you.
Mike's Bad Times, we did not have fun.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Our guest tonight is the author of a new book called Comedy Goes to Court, When People Stop Laughing and Start Fighting. For more information, check out ocarlslaw.com. Guys, Carl Unabu is on the program. Carl, I've been reading your book. Your book is a lot of fun, man.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that.
There's a recent lawsuit with George Carlin's daughter sued people for making an AI version of George Carlin. Obviously, that wasn't in your book because it just happened, but
right.
I enjoyed the book and I thought maybe you'd know something about that and have something to say about it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look, first of all, thanks for having me. And, it's a fine show. It gives me a chance to talk about this book, Comedy Goes to Court. when people stop laughing and start fighting. Now, with respect to the George Carlin thing, you know, it tends to come up a lot, really, recently at least. You know, folks often ask me about it. Look.
Is there grounds, Carl? Do you think it's legit? Because it's AI, so it's not real, but it is kind of trying to steal the essence, right?
Yeah, it does try to steal the essence, but for you to win, you have to show that they have appropriated his likeness for commercial benefit. Sure. In other words, you know, I think that's the theory of that kind of case.
They clearly say that it's not really him, so wouldn't that be parody? I think the lawsuit ended with them just taking it down and that being the end of it.
Well, yeah, but you know, many of those cases have come up a lot. I mean, at this point, you could only speculate.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, maybe predict what might have happened, you know, if the case would have gone all the way to, you know, a decision. But usually they settle because, you know, there are business reasons for people to settle, and there are issues about, like, what your case, the strength of your case, you know, those are things that lawyers are usually capable of making very enlightened judgments about. Yeah. And then a lot of times, those considerations foster settlements. But it is an evolving area. Nobody knows where the courts are ultimately, you know, going to land.
Sure.
But AI is a problem. Look, in comedy at least, I mean, I believe that, like, you know, if you see the suit that Sarah Silverman filed, which they ultimately, I believe they lost that. But, you know, the court ended up saying, well, that the materials they claimed that the AI companies, you know, took from them, that in other words, that the AI didn't really violate their copyright in the thing because it was like publicly accessible information and things like that.
But I guess they built what they made out of existing works.
Existing work and so many of them are that. You know,
I think that's how the Carlin thing got swept away, because it turned out people actually wrote those jokes. That wasn't the compilation of George Carlin, like somebody admitted later, Will Sasso or whoever was on the show, that somebody was writing those jokes.
Yeah, see, if you can sort of make it look like you're not taking the thing directly from him,
sure,
but you're like using the thing as part of a derivative product. In other words, something entirely different.
It was definitely his voice. Like Mike here, he's got a soundboard where he has plenty of celebrities that you feed them a couple minutes of time and they could make any celebrity say anything. If you've got
recording. You had that problem
Who do I got, Jody? I'll make somebody promote Carl's book. I think I got Liam Neeson. You want Liam Neeson to promote your book, Carl?
Liam Neeson? Why not? Can you do that?
You're actually a lawyer, right?
And, last time I checked, yeah.
Yeah, and so what made you get into comedy and writing this particular book?
Okay, so...
You write a blog about comedy, too.
Of course, I write a blog. Actually, the book came from the blog. And you know, the blog had been going on for over 10 years previously, you know, before I even like started to think about writing the book. And the book contains only like maybe 20% of the stuff on the blog. Now, the blog, I was writing the blog as part of my work at Comedy Beat, where I was, it was a news site that covered comedy, where I was one of the editors. And so we had a blog role on the site. So my blog was part of the blog role, and I tended to focus on just comedy and the law. The law, you know, issues where situations where comedians got sued for what they said or what they did, for that matter. And then some of the legal problems that arose. Now, I wrote the thing not as a lawyer, but more like as a journalist, you know, because journalists, by training, we are storytellers. By the way, I studied journalism at Columbia.
Yeah.
So we are storytellers, you know, by the very nature of what we do. So I wrote the thing not the way a lawyer would write. I mean, lawyers would write with lots of legal citations and lots of mumbo jumbo. No.
Yeah, I appreciate that reading that, Carl, is that you don't write it like a lawyer.
No, I don't. I mean, I was able to do that because, you know, I have a foot in both law and comedy. I mean, if I was just a lawyer, I couldn't have written that kind of book if I was just a lawyer, because lawyers just write like lawyers. The lawyers don't write like the kind of stuff where somebody riding the subway in New York City, or who was watching a baseball game, you know, in the bleachers somewhere, You know, so I wrote the thing in a conversational way, sort of like the accessible language you find in a newspaper, not in a law review, not in a law journal, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I was able to explain that to folks in a way that made sense to them, and they appreciated that. Before that time, all they had available was maybe somebody writing entertainment law, writing the thing like a lawyer from a legal perspective, or maybe somebody just writing about comedy, a commentary on comedy, but never like something that brought the two together in the same stream. You know, so that was where the blog came in.
So you did some research and found that nobody had really come at it from the angle that you were looking to
do. Nobody did. I mean, I started doing the thing, and frankly, when I started doing the thing, I didn't even think that this is like something that could be done. I didn't think it was tenable. It was feasible.
You'd be out of your mind to try to be funny in court. That's like the least place I've ever been.
So
Judge, knock, knock. Who's there?
Carl Looney Boo's book, Comedy Goes to Court, is on Amazon now. Get it today.
He didn't do very good on your name.
That's wonderful. That's good enough. Yeah, but seriously, so, you know, it's more like an act of service to the industry, both comedians and non-comedians. Now, for comedians, the reason is obvious. It's a 360-degree coverage of, you know, what they do, from how to make the deal to what they can or cannot say to how they protect their jokes, you know, that kind of thing. So for comedians, it's a straightforward, you know, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that this book, you know, is something they read. So it's sort of like a must read. Now, for guys who are not comedians, which means the general public out there,
yeah,
the book has two aspects. First aspect is the story. I mean, I intended to tell a lot of stories, you know, that would really fascinate them. Stories involving the kind of people they know, you know, celebrities and things like, you know, folks that they really would recognize. And then the things that these people did and how the law impacted them. And then, you know, so it was written in a way that was very accessible and easy. The kind of language you could find in People magazine, or let's say the world famous New York Post, so that kind of thing.
But then also the legal ramifications of that story, which
you know, the stories, the way it was written. So I kind of wrote the book to give them the sense that maybe they are watching a comedy show, or maybe they are taking the comedy roast. You know, it was that kind of funny with the stories about comedians.
Jody, there's a story in the book where Cat Williams got in a fight with people in the audience. And the audience, I guess, sued Cat Williams because they didn't get the show they were promised. But I'll tell you what, if I knew the comedian was going to fight audience members, I'd go to more comedy shows.
That's
a show, right?
Well, that could be funny too in his own way,
Mike, there's worse comedians to get beat up by than Cat Williams, I promise, because he's not a very big guy. So you would jump on stage and go, let me tell you something, you peeping piece of shit. You better get up off my stage before I break my foot off in your ass.
That's actually a pretty decent Cat Williams, Jody. Have you been working on that?
I am actually Cat Williams, baby.
Oh.
Carl Lunabu's book, Comedy Goes to Court, is on Amazon now. Get it today.
That's Hulk Hogan. I don't have too many right now, Jody.
So, yeah, so in that Cat Williams case, they sued Live Nation, you know, for not putting on a show. So, sort of breach of contract theory, you know, that they promised people a show, people came in there, and then Cat Williams, you know, like, you know.
Were they not offering money back? I'd think they'd just refund the ticket.
They would refund the ticket, you know. They would refund the ticket, yeah. Because, you know, there's some kind of breach. Now, what happens to Cat Williams? Well, it's up to the company to take him on. But if he breached, if he committed a tort, let's say he assaulted a member of the audience, then that's a personal legal liability that attaches to him, separate from the breach of contract or lawsuit against Live Nation, you know, the show promoter.
Carl, where's the best place to send people to get this book?
The best place, obviously, these days, Amazon, very just a click away. And of course, you know, they can always get the book. I mean, the chapter on free speech is the biggest chapter in the book, which I illustrate with stories from Jerry Seinfeld, you know.
How about Michael Richards? I feel like Michael Richards could have used some
Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, everybody really. Jimmy Kimmel, you know, Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno. So all those guys, Bill Maher, Donald Trump himself, even though he's not a comedian, Yeah. He sued Bill Maher sometime, and I have it in the book. I have that in the book too.
I think he sued Bill Maher a couple of times.
Yeah, he sued Bill Maher. You know, that was in 2012 and 2013 over some joke Bill Maher made.
Yeah.
About the color of Donald Trump's hair and that orange orangutan. So Donald Trump sued him for $5 million, alleging that there was a contract between him and Bill Maher.
No, that's crazy.
That Bill Maher made a bet with him, you know, that if he could produce his birth certificate to show that he wasn't the son of an orange orangutan and a human woman, that he would give him $5 million. Now, the backdrop was, you know, when Donald Trump was going around saying that Barack Obama wasn't born in this country,
yeah,
that he would give Obama $5 million if Obama would produce his birth certificate. Bill Maher turns it around on Donald Trump when he went on the Jay Leno show and said, look, you know, if you could show that you're not the son of an orange orangutan and a human woman, I will give you $5 million because your hair, the color of your hair and the color of an orange orangutan, they are the two things in nature of the same color. You know, that kind of joke. And
so
everything.
Is the legal defense there that making a statement on a late night show isn't a legally binding bet, I guess?
Frankly, that's part of the explanation there why Donald Trump ultimately had to withdraw the suit, because I mean, he could tell that the suit wasn't going to go anywhere, yeah. Really. You know, so it wasn't, it's something like they call a puff in the law, you know.
Sure.
Puffer. He was on a comedy show saying something that people did not understand to be a contract he was offering to Donald Trump. You know, it was more like a joke. But Donald Trump, he took it so seriously. Well, the thing is, though, it's sort of like what we call a strategic lawsuit, where you are not actually suing to win, but you're trying to teach a lesson to somebody, you know, not to mess with the wrong Marine, so to speak. You know, so that kind of thing. And it kind of takes me to the case where a similar case against John Oliver that I have in the book.
Sure. Yeah.
Where a guy in the coal industry, the guy who owns the biggest coal industry company in this country, sued John Oliver. Same kind of deal. Oliver beat the guy in the case very easily, but Oliver had spent up until that time.
Carl, was that the guy that talks to squirrels?
Well, that guy.
Yeah, he talks to squirrels, that guy.
Well, you know, that's what Oliver said. Oliver said he talks to squirrels. He said the guy was a geriatric Dr. Evil. You know, the case focused around the politics of the coal industry under the Trump administration. So that's where this whole thing came from. And then there was a controversy over what happened at a mine in Utah, where there was an explosion in 2007, where about 9 people got killed. So the controversy was about the exact cause of that explosion. A government report suggested that the company, you know, like they didn't pay much attention to precautions, you know, safety precautions, that was the probable cause of the explosion. But the billionaire said, no, it was because of an earthquake. So, you know, there was that controversy. And then Oliver weathered in and said, look, you know, this guy is a liar. You know, he's a geriatric Dr. Evil. He's greedy. You know, he doesn't believe in a safety regulation, you know, that kind of thing. If you run this episode, we are going to sue you for defamation. So Joe, you better not run the episode. You know, it was like a cease and desist letter to him. They were based in Ohio, but they sued him in West Virginia, you know, cold country. Eventually, though, of course, the case was silly. They lost the case, but, you know, even though they lost the case early, they had forced Oliver at that early stage to spend...
Sometimes the case isn't about the case.
Exactly. It wasn't about the case. It was strategic lawsuits. So Oliver had spent over $200,000 on lawyers' fees, podcasts, and everything. And then, get this, his insurance went up by more than 300%.
HBO that was kind of the point. They'll be fine. I don't feel bad for HBO. They'll figure it out. Right?
You're right, bro.
It's baked into the cake.
It's a lawsuit. The lawsuit is not about the lawsuit. Yeah. It's about something else.
Carl, do you do social media? Where should I send people on social media?
They can check out my blog. My website is okauslaw.com. Okauslaw.com.
That's your blog where you post a lot of stuff similar to this.
Right. I mean, like I said, you know, if they like the subjects they have in this book, the blog has way more stuff on it than the book. So the book has only like maybe 20% of the stuff on the blog.
Yeah.
So if they enjoy reading these kinds of stuff, you know, they can have like a field day on the blog.
Right. Carl, we appreciate your time, man. It was cool talking to you.
Carl, well, thanks a lot.
Carl, I tell you what, man, if people keep butchering your name over the next few years, you could always change your name to Dave Supel.
Oh, I'll give that consideration, man. Totally. Gentlemen, thanks a lot, man. I hope people take the book in the spirit in which it was written, to entertain them and then to learn something about the law and to understand the politics of free speech in our society today, where Americans are very hypersensitive and addicted to lawsuits. So, yeah.
Carl,
so
I found Johnny Cash. Let's do Johnny Cash real quick before we're done.
Carl Lunabu's book, Comedy Goes to Court, is on Amazon now. Get it today.
That's pretty good, right?
Pretty good, Johnny Cash.
Pretty good, Johnny Cash. Thanks, Carl.
Appreciate it, man.
Take care, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Honored.
Well, Dave Supel was a bomb, huh? I sat here for like 5 minutes thinking to say that.
I didn't get it either, Jody. What?
He's a lawyer. Dave Sue. Dave Supel.
As opposed to Dave Chappelle.
Oh, no,
fuck it. I'm leaving. Bye, guys.
Ooh, that's a stinkeroony there.
It was a stretch.
Ooh. Wow.
He didn't look like Dave Chappelle, and I'm not just being racist.
He didn't look anything like Dave. He kind
of... Yes, he did. He was bald.
No, he wasn't.
He was bald, and he was black.
He had a full head of hair.
He had wrinkles in his forehead sometimes that made me think of Dave Chappelle while he was in court.
The only thing that guy looked like Dave Chappelle is that they're both black guys. That's it, Jody.
No. Nobody knows. This is an audio podcast.
Do you think that, like, for a second, Carl got that joke?
No, I don't think he heard me half the things I said, but that's okay.
I don't either. I don't think he, yeah. There were some issues there, Jody.
I'm working on this mic stuff, guys. I'm sorry.
Jody, I got a pick of the week.
What's your pick of the week, Mike?
So my wife and I, we went to the movie theater last night. We saw a movie.
Sure.
And let me tell you, I am a late adopter.
My wife.
I'm probably going to get clowned for this pick of the week, but I'm telling you, listen to me.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
My wife has gotten me recently converted to the buying the bucket of popcorn and then dumping a full-ass bag of M&Ms in the popcorn.
Oh, that's your shit now?
Is that a thing that people normally do?
I've heard of other candy like Sour Patch Kids and stuff like that. You dump it in your popcorn.
The dumping the M&Ms in the popcorn is a fucking game changer, man.
Oh, wow. They don't sink to the bottom.
They don't sink to the bottom. You just give it a little shaky shake. You got to eat like the top layer off the popcorn so that you can, you know, wiggle it around a little bit.
Like a little nest for your candies.
You grab a handful of the popcorn with like an M&M or two in there and you pop it in your mouth and like it's a little sweet surprise in there. I'm telling you, this is a fucking game changer for me, guys.
Regular M&Ms or peanut M&Ms?
Just regular ass M&Ms. I don't buy M&Ms.
That could be good.
But I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy some M&Ms if I'm going to dump it in some popcorn.
I like your plan, guy. That's nice.
I brought my goddamn popcorn home and had more of it this morning because I had some M&Ms down there at the bottom.
Some breakfast popcorn candy?
So that might be a shitty pick of the week, but that's my pick of the week because I'm still thinking about it.
Movie theater popcorn with M&Ms.
What a fun little treat that was.
Fuck yeah.
Rob's going to be so mad.
And we went and saw Monkey Man and it was fine.
Well, he's going to hate my pick of the week too.
Jody, you got a pick of the week, bud?
My pick of the week? Is mowing your own goddamn lawn. Did it for the first time this weekend.
Well, a real man's man.
I've been clowning Jody for paying some fucking guy to mow his lawn for years.
A long time, Mike.
And I'll tell you what, when Jody showed me that he got himself a mower, a little tear ran
down.
Dude,
when I go from apartment back to house, there's no way I'm cutting my own grass again.
Yeah. I've looked at some guy cut my grass since I've lived here, but fucking drunk, 8 years now.
You put in your time as a grass mowing man.
Since I was like 8.
Yeah. And now you've graduated. You can pay somebody now.
Okay, thank you.
You know how it feels.
I didn't mow when I was a kid. We didn't have lawnmowers.
You just kicked it in the dirt. Kicked the
grass doesn't grow in trailer parks, drunk. Just pine trees and fucking leaves get stuck in your yard.
Yep, Drunk's Pick of the Week. It's on Apple Plus. The name of the show is Manhunt.
Manhunt.
It's about...
Oh, that's the Abe Lincoln show.
The Abe Lincoln assassination, yeah. It's pretty good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Guys, we did it. Check out Po' Boys podcast, right, Jody? Po' Boys
podcast? Yes, please. Google search Po' Boys podcast. Go to www.buyoverday.com. Use promo code Po' Boys. 10% off. Clean your booty hole like a champion. Thanks, Mike.
Bye. Bye, guys. Bye.
Up to then.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Dub Fod. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, take a moment to share a link, tell a friend, leave a review, or do any of the other things podcasts ask you to do. This operation is completely independent, and so your support is appreciated. Leave questions, comments, or whatever you want on our voicemail at 636-487-HAND or by email to Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Special thanks as always to our Patreon sponsors, the Duchess of New Jersey, Assistant Treads, Benny Michaels, Liquid Lozenge, Brian Kranz, Valerie Carpenter, Jay Adson, and Rabbit Poundings. You can become a Patreon sponsor yourself to get early access to episodes for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/WFODix. WFODshow.com has our entire back catalog. It also has a place to fully immerse yourself in Dub Fod lore with cola rankings, flat drunks, and more. You can also follow us at WFOD Show on Twitter and Instagram, or WFODix on Facebook and YouTube. The music featured is provided by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. All AI voices are fake, all content is probably a joke, and we think you're really nice and cool. We'll be back next week, but really, we're never gone. Take care.
You know it's over.